Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5 this afternoon. Hebrews chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with an infirmity? And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. So open up the scripture here in Hebrews. We've come through the speaking of the imperfect priesthood, the human priesthood, and replacing what has come to replace that in Christ and the priesthood of Christ. And the author here comparing that to Melchizedek and the order of Melchizedek. And I want to focus here in on verse 11. We're to verse 11 of chapter 5 and begin looking at what the author would have for us to learn here. Now, he's explaining here the priesthood of Christ. He's explaining of Christ, of the priesthood of Christ and of Melchizedek. And he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. So this verse is a transition. It's transitioning from the previous verses, speaking of those things, Melchizedek, Christ, and the priesthood. The author has more to say concerning these things than the of whom. We can assume here that he's speaking of. It can be referring to one, or it can be referring to all of these subjects of Melchizedek, Christ, and the priesthood, and how these work together. But referring to this subject, that the author returns, and he will return to that subject and explain more in chapter 7, again, speaking of Melchizedek and of Christ and of the priesthood, again in chapter 7. Indeed, in our transition in this verse here, he begins by saying that these things that he has to say are deep and difficult things to be understood, especially to be understood by those who may not have the foundational things exercised in their own hearts and their own minds and their own spirits. Now, the topic of the gospel is an endless source of knowledge, an endless source of instruction to the believer, and especially of those young in the faith, or those who have been slow in the learning the what he calls the first principles. They have been either uninterested or not motivated in learning these things, or in learning the oracles of God. So he says that these sayings that he has, or these things that he has to teach them, are hard to be uttered, meaning more that it'll be difficult to explain, difficult to teach them, based on the foundation that they have and the lack of understanding and knowledge that they have not grown to at this point in time after having the Word of God with them for quite some time. And it would be some time that they would have these things. The Hebrews have had these things to learn of. So he does refer to them in the Scriptures here as the oracles of God, the very words of God that we'll speak of here a little bit later as well. And hard to be uttered, hard to be understood. It'd be difficult for anyone, as a minister. It'd be difficult for a minister, difficult for an evangelist, difficult for a missionary. And indeed, they run into these issues to explain deeper truths of God, of God's Word, without the hearers having the foundational understanding of the principles of the gospel and the gospel truths. So because of the ignorance of the hearers, the author or the person who is teaching would need to spend more time going over the principles again, going over the first things of the Gospels, making sure that foundation is there, that foundation has been laid. They understand Christ, they understand the resurrection, they understand faith in God and these things. So it would require more spoon feeding, feeding them these things, the principal things to the people, the foundational things of the Gospel, before taking them deeper into the oracles of God, the deeper understanding of things. God. So he calls them here, and this is where he begins really to probably wake some of them up that may have been listening and not hearing. He said, seeing you're dull of hearing. Okay, so he's accusing them here of something, and they say, wait a minute. The author begins, you know, with a wake-up moment for his audience, and it's a strong, firm rebuke, you know, of their lack of zeal, because you are dull of hearing. I don't know, through the reading of this, I wouldn't imagine there would be many minds wandering after hearing the author, this letter come to them, and hearing this author that has written these things, write these things. You know, you'd hate to think that there were any that had thinking of other things and the mind was wandering while they were reading these things, but I wonder if any minds were wandering when they were reading these things, because that's a dull hearing is a disease of the fallen man. You know, it's dull in hearing. And how many minds are wandering, you know, at this point? You know, we have so many things going on that we can't truly understand and focus if we're talking of the oracles of God and the true heart of who we are as Christian beings, if it's something that we can really and truly hear and not just listen to. And there's a difference. How many minds are wandering? Dull of hearing is, like I said, a disease of the fallen mankind. It destroys men, women, and children when it comes to depriving them from hearing the oracles of God. Well, first, faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Faith also grows and matures by hearing the oracles of the Word of God as well. And there's a difference between to be dull of hearing. Think about that. Jesus said, if you have ears, let them who have ears hear. And it wasn't that people didn't have ears. It was that they didn't have spiritual trained ears to hear. And that's many, many times in my own life. I have that issue. And I'm not sharpening and having ears ready to hear, truly spiritually hear what God would have to say through His Word. I can listen. And if you have children, you know they can listen without hearing. It's easy for them to listen without hearing. They can look like they're listening, everything's going well, and you ask them something, a question, and they'll say, huh, what? You know, they learn to listen without hearing. And we do the same thing. We learn to listen without truly hearing God's Word. Especially if we've been brought up in the church, and that's something that tends to be a, for lack of a better term, just a thing we do on Sundays, is be able to come, hear a preacher, Or we don't come to hear the preacher. We come to listen to the preacher. We need to come truly to hear God's word through the preacher. And if you have children, I mean, they're all different, and you know the ones that you have to look straight in the eyes when you talk to them. You know the ones that you can just talk to and they'll hear you and understand. And sometimes you have to say, "Look at my eyes." Sometimes we need to do that too. We need to look at God's, want to look at His Word, straight directly into His Word, to see what it is He would have for us to learn and understand and be ready to accept it and change if need be. So we grow because we're not dull of hearing. We listen and we hear with our hearts. So don't be dull of hearing. Verse 12, he goes on to say, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. So he says, for when a time, there's a time. He said, this time has elapsed. You have learned of the principles already. You have had some time. The Hebrews have been under the gospel. apparently this letter had been written to. They had upheld the name of Christ. They had been turned away from their synagogues because of their faith in Christ. But the time frame of the ministry of Christ could have been as much as 35 years to this point in the writing of the book of the Hebrews. But the certain years really isn't the purpose of the text here. It's not all of the readers that have the same amount of time to learn. They haven't. There were some that come surely later in the faith, some that earlier in the faith. So the time frame is really not the point here. They don't all have had the same benefit of instruction of the teachers that were there among them to teach and instruct them. But the point is, as those who have been given the privilege as children of God and given the benefit of having His Word readily available to them to use, to hear, that they should grow and to grow in wisdom, to grow in gaining skills of putting God's Word to use, to make God's Word to them meaningful, purposeful. So we have meaningful and purposeful application in our own lives and in the lives of those around us so that we edify others as well. You know, there's two ways to learn. There's head knowledge and there's heart knowledge. And you can learn head knowledge without having any heart knowledge. And we have to dislike hearing. It's different to listen and to hear. If you're truly going to have ears to hear. If we're truly going to have a desire to learn and desire to gain knowledge, it's wanting to be closer in relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ and understand Him and Him better to be able to discern what we are to do for His will. And of course, you know, he's saying you ought to all be teachers by now. Not that all are called to be public teachers. There are a specific ordination and a specific way that those are called of God out to be certain teachers. So it's not that we're all supposed to be public teachers, but it's focusing on each individual's spiritual maturity, each individual's proper use of spiritual knowledge, that we're to become teachers able to teach others, able to teach those who have not come through some of the trials and circumstances that we have, to be able to share those things, to be able to be used of God to edify those around us. So it's the maturity, the proper use of spiritual knowledge and scriptural knowledge that we are to use. And the Greek word for teacher here is used throughout the New Testament as a title for master. Master, teacher. Now we have what we call in the colleges master's degrees. And master's degrees are those who have supposedly mastered certain subjects of the college that they offer. We should be masters of the Scriptures. Should be desiring to be masters of the Scriptures. You don't have to be public teachers. You don't have to be elders. You don't have to be deacons to be masters of the Scriptures. And it's not that a master, there's not a certain, when we talk about these things, you don't want to We don't have to master everything. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to be theologians to the T. But we do have to be obedient. And I think the focus is to truly be obedient, to be prepared, to do what God has called us to do. We have certain graces that we're given to grow. We're to pray. We're to read God's Word. We're to meditate. We're to help others. We're to worship. We're to be edifying to others. Those things that are all given to us as opportunities to be able to grow in the faith, to learn of God, and to become masters of the Scriptures for Him. You know, and that difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. We're not becoming masters in order to say that I know this and I know that, I'm good at this and I'm good at that. It's to know that God needs you here for this certain area. Therefore, I prepared myself to be able to give an answer for that hope that is within me when that circumstances comes. And it may be anything from standing in the pulpit and preaching to working with, you know, a 5 or 6 year old with his catechism. And to understand what it means to be born in sin and what it means for Christ to have substituted himself for his punishment. It's to be prepared. Fathers need to be prepared. Mothers need to be prepared. Brothers, sisters, the older ones, you need to be prepared. You can help. I mean, we parents need help. Believe it or not, we're not perfect. And believe it or not, we don't cover everything that needs to be covered. When certain things come up that we need help with, and those brothers and sisters, sometimes you bigger brothers and sisters, you know them little brothers and sisters a little bit better. You fought with them. You've been through thick and thin with them. And you can teach them. God can use you to teach those little ones. So be ready and be prepared to be used by God when the circumstances arises. He said that he rebuked them by saying, "You have a need that one would teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." Now, this is disheartening. What a disheartening rebuke this would be to hear that you spent this time, this much time in the faith, you still need someone to teach you again, not depths of the Christian truth, not the depths of the priesthood of Christ, which he's trying to explain to them here, but the first principles of things all over again. That's a disheartening thing. It's a disheartening thing for us sometimes. If you're in that state, and if you feel like that is what you need, then that is where you need to go. And you need to go now. Back to the first principles of God to make sure you understand those things. I mean, I'll tell you an example of me when I first come to Dominion. I was in another church. We were meeting. There were things that were, you know, advancing along with our faith and the things that we're doing and studying. And, you know, I got pretty good understanding of things. Then I come to Dominion. I decided I didn't have much understanding of things as I thought I did. And by God's grace and His patience with me, and there's been many men in this assembly that's had patience with me, they have taught me more. They have shown me more. They have opened my eyes up to things that, by God's grace, I'd never known. I don't think I would have known and come across without some of these men helping me. They have placed their time and their effort in the Word of God to be able to teach those that come beside them the same thing. That is priceless. We all need to be focused on trying to do that and working to do that. Because there is a world out there that needs to understand the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They also need to understand the priesthood of Christ when they get past those principles. To understand all about what God and His oracles say. So the time had been misused. Some time has been lost. They need someone to help them start over. The oracles of God that he's speaking of here, he calls them the oracles, the spoken word of God here. These are the spoken word of the creator of the universe who has sent his son for the salvation of his people is who we're talking about. These are his words. Should that not be something that we're interested in learning and truly hearing, growing in knowledge and in wisdom? And being the oracles of God, we're told in the scriptures, numerous places, the words of God are powerful. The words of God are authoritative. The words of God are infallible. Those are the words that are our hope, the hope for the Christian, the hope for him for salvation. And they're the hope for a fallen world that needs to know him. And we are the ones to take it to them, all of us, to prepare and to be ready to give the oracles of God to those and for ourselves to understand and study that. We are, and it says, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. So he uses an analogy. And here the analogy starts of using physical food and the physical food that we have to grow comparing to the spiritual. Milk is for babes. You know, babies start with milk. That's the foundation. They start with the milk. Then they grow up, and as they grow into adults, they go into meat, strong meat, more substance, more things, and they're able to do this themselves. They don't have to be spoon-fed anymore. You spoon-feed those infants. They eventually grow up feeding themselves, and just like those infants, we have messy mouths when we get done sometimes. You know, they're not all that good at it to begin with, but they get it. And they get more better, they get better and better at it. And that's what we do. We want to get better and better at understanding how ourselves to discern the Word of God for ourselves. Understanding who the Holy Spirit is and how He is in me and how I go to Him for help. How I pray. How I feel that it is Him within me that shows me what His Word would have for me. And to teach our little ones the same. So this is the analogy begins here, the milk's for the babies. The strong, as in strong meat, strong means stable. Means stable. It's stable. This is stable meat that it's talking of here. And those who eat stable meat become stable Christians. It's stability. Now there is need for milk. You know, in the growing process, 1 Peter 2:2, it would tell us as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. So the goal here, as newborn babes, as new believers in Jesus Christ who have come to faith in Him, there will be a time for milk. There will be a time for understanding the first principles and those things. But the goal is to consume the milk, to digest the milk, and to grow into spiritual adults through that. That is the foundation of the principal things. And the principal things are easily understood. It's the gospel. The gospel can be received by faith by all and any. And it's the easy things to be understood that we've been given by God and His grace to give to those who need to hear. And this is the foundation that the Christian life is to be built upon. Every Christian is built upon the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. And then you grow. In churches, if we look at churches, they are really schools of the gospel. The worship of God is the focus and the goal of the churches. And one aspect of that worship is the work of training up spiritual adults that are useful in God's kingdom and useful even within our congregation, the congregation of saints as well. And that must be a focus of the ministry, to train, to give proper, true, biblical understanding of what Scripture says. If we're focused on, if church's goal and aim is to feed the inner child of an adult with entertainment or with fun, with recreation, the result is obviously just going to be what the text implies here. They're going to get spiritual babes because it's the entertainment. It's the other things inside. It's the desires of the flesh that they want to bring some in or whatever the reason may be. But if that is the focus and remains the focus, spiritual babes is all you can ever hope for. You must be feeding with meat. And churches are schools of the gospel. Strong, stable, grown Christian people are the people that go out and they're the apologetics, they're the theologians, they're the ones that go on the street and witness. There's the one that go on the street to rebuke those who are naysayers. And you stand for what is truth because you have learned the truth. You know the truth. This is the truth that God Himself has shown you through His Word. And this gives us the boldness to be able to do what He calls us to do, whatever aspect He has for each individual life here. No matter how young or how old, He has a ministry for each one to do and to do within their own families. So members of churches should have two aims in their spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is a part of what church ministry is, and what it is to do is to impart spiritual growth to others. You can't do that without having a focus on others as well. So the first focus, though, is your own improvement and learning. To use the means of God has given you to grow into spiritual adulthood. That's spending time in prayer. I mean, these are the basic simple things that are the basics of spiritual growth. Is prayer, word, and to meditate, to study, and to ask God for direction in all these things that you're doing, so that you're studying, you're growing, you're learning. You go to those in your congregation when you come to a hard spot, or your parents when you come to a hard spot and say, hey, I need help with this, and learning. You learn there. You go to some commentaries. I mean, commentaries are wonderful. You go to commentaries. There's people, there's Mr. Owen. I mean, you can go in there and you say, wow, I mean, I never brought that out to me like he has brought that out to me. And you can learn so many things. You're growing. To pick up the books and grow and take the time to grow, take the time to learn, take the time to study, take the time to answer all those questions. You have a question pop up in your head. It may pop up in your head because God wants you to go search that out. You might need to know that for next week when I got this guy coming to you at work asking you about it. Just be prepared to search out the scriptures. So our own improvement, the use of means that God has given us to grow is what we are to use. That's the first aim in spiritual growth. The second aim in spiritual growth is to learn how to use the knowledge for the benefit of others. There's much out there. There's many people that do have issues and need help that know. They think they can go to the church. They think they can come here. They think they can go to their local churches and get answers for some of the questions that they have. God forbid that we not be ready to be able to give answers, to be able to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. So learn to know, to use the knowledge for the benefit of others. That's the benefit of, and you can look at that in any realm, the benefit for, you know, our neighborhood, our community, our family, our church, the saints here, that we have needs. And we're able to meet those needs with one another in love because God has given us insights to be able to do so. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. I read this earlier. God gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. He gives these for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. And God in His wisdom and His knowledge has given these different aspects within each church, within the churches, to be able to minister, to be able to do the things that He desires and needs each congregation to be able to do. And our goal, what we should be goal, our goal should be to do is to be open and obedient to His Word and to what He would have us to do, to be able to be a part of it. Whether we're, you know, teachers, pastors, evangelists, whether we're just, or whether we're serving any other ministry within the church that the necessary ministry is there that needs to be filled. That we're there and we're ready. Because God has given us a specific gift or a specific thing that we can look to and share for the edification of the whole body. So we learn not only how to improve ourselves, we will learn how to improve others and a desire to improve others and other spiritual well-being as well. Share with you what Brother Owen has said concerning this passage. It's a little bit of a quote here, but I wanted to share this with you. There is nothing more lamentable in the present profession of Christian religion than the woeful negligence of most. They hear the word, for the most part, as company or custom or their lust or ease direct them, and they content themselves in hearing of it without any endeavors for its improvement. So do many souls under the best of means come to the worst of ends. But this is not all. They are so to learn in the church as that we may be useful to others, a matter which few think of or trouble themselves about. But this Christ expects all of the members of His churches in a special manner, for the church, every church, is the body of Christ, and members in particular, that is, the whole body, and unto one another. And the apostle there shows what a monstrous thing it is for a member to be useless in the body. Everyone is to contribute to the growth of the whole. He that doth not so is dead. One way or other, everyone may contribute to this building, cast into its sanctuary some of their talents, some of their mights, times, seasons, opportunities, advantages for usefulness are in the hand of God. But our duty is to be prepared for them and then to lay hold upon them. And many times that is part of our ministry, personally, is to prepare. And preparation can be frustrating sometimes. You don't know where it's going. You don't know if you're preparing. You don't even know what you're preparing for sometimes, but you're being obedient. Our calling is to be obedient to what God would have us to do and to prepare and to be ready to serve. So prepare. Prepare with a mindset of being useful for Him. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful, but says verse 13, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. A babe. A person that's not diligent to study or to seek out answers, to use time to grow in spiritual understanding. So the babes in the righteousness, they really only have principal tools to use in discernment. Only principal tools to use in weighing teachings, communicating God's truth to others. So although given the essential tools for salvation, which he would have, he's still left open to error. He could be misled by false teachers, and his faith is to be shaken by those who hate God and oppose the gospel. So we want to go past having those who only use milk. We don't want to be those who are reaching for the strong meat, who are ready to transition over to grab the strong meat and start taking the strong meat so that we're able to guard ourselves from these things and guard others as well, to be able to be skillful in the word of righteousness. And unskillful here he's talking about is really inexperienced. They are inexperienced in the word of righteousness, which would lack of experience would cause them to possibly fall into error or allow others around them to fall into error. And a babe, you know, he's using the word here and talking to them, calling them a babe. I mean, if you're a child, you hear your children argue or anything, you know, the baddest thing you can do is say, "Oh, you're a baby. You're a little baby." You know, you don't want to be called a baby. You know, kids don't want to be called a baby. And he's using this here, and I'm sure it is a sting, a rebuke, and knowing in their hearts if it is the truth about them individually, you know, they're just babes. They're really babes in faith, and they should be past these things and focusing on what they would do for the Lord and growing in understanding and wisdom and not be a babe. Unskillful, he says, in the word of righteousness. The word of righteousness. And that is God's word. It is the only word of righteousness available to man. The gospel is the only word of righteousness. Romans 1:17 tells us, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." It is the righteousness of God. It's the righteousness of God, and it tells us how righteous we are, or the lack thereof. It tells us where our righteousness is found, which is nowhere but in Christ, because we in ourselves are destined and doomed to destruction, and without Him and His righteousness, we would have no hope. So we're given the righteousness of God, we're given our lack of righteousness and where our righteousness really stands in Jesus Christ, and it gives us the gospel of knowing that it's through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, the means of our righteousness and only righteousness, that we would have a relationship with the Father once again. And it also gives us instructions for righteousness. We know that the Scripture does that as well. As in, it gives us the instructions for holy living, for we are to be holy as He is holy, as we were studying earlier. The holiness of God is a good study to understand how holy means. When you have angels, thrice holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, understanding that this is holy, true holiness. And we're so far removed from that. We can't even bridge that gap in our minds. But we know that Christ has. And trying to teach that is something that you must get that understanding, to teach how much of a chasm is there, and how great and wonderful and powerful the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is, the believer to know that He has spanned that chasm with that, even though we can't even fathom the grace of God in doing so that way. So it teaches us the instruction of the righteousness of God, where our righteousness is found in Jesus Christ and the gospel, and how to live holy and righteous lives. So it is truly the word of righteousness and the only word of righteousness that mankind has available to him. Let us not be found unskillful in that, because that is our hope. That is the hope of those around us, the hope of the lost world, the hope of the men that need to understand what the gospel is. That is our desire to present. This is the righteousness that you have available. There is no other. This is the word of righteousness. And he says too in verse 14, we'll finish up with 14, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those by who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." 1 Corinthians 13:11. Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things." Strong meat belongs to them that are grown up. They're of full age. And there is a time to grow up. The adult is to cast away childish things that would take up time and waste days. And we're to take on the duty of God that God would give us. The work that He has placed before men to do. Men to go. Teach men. Women to go. Teach women. To be able to teach, to be able to share, to be able to share the gospel with those around us. But the strong meat is for them of full age. Those who have studied, those who have a desire to hear with their heart the word of God. So study and instruction by the use of stable, strong meat. Stable. And it leads to stable Christians. And those of full age are made complete because of the use and exercise of the means. So it's not easy. It's not easy to be learn a lot of these things. It's not easy. It takes time. It takes dedication. It takes diligence. And we don't always have that in our lives all the time. You know, we're lacking in that. That happens. But our desire is to be diligent, to teach, to learn, to understand, to go into the Scriptures with a desire to understand what it is. So it says, by reason of use, these are things that you do as a habit. It's saying a habit. This is a habit. You have the habit of going and fulfilling these things in your life because they are means by which to learn what God would have you to do. So it's by use, by reason of use, the habit of reading, the habit of meditation, application, prayer, use, the gain from the knowledge of the Scriptures. So we use them. And then we exercise. He says the senses are exercised. Or exercise, it suggests real training, real exercise. You know, real spiritual training. It's not a figment, you know, that we talk about. It's real spiritual training. It's training yourself in a habit, training yourself to be obedient to what God would call you to do, and to train yourself to be obedient to His speaking, His speaking to you through the Word. That's a lot of times, if you're in a hurry and you're reading through, and it's great to read through the Scriptures. But a lot of times, if you're reading through the Scriptures and you're just reading through the Scriptures and you're listening but you're not hearing, you're not getting a lot out of it. If you're reading but you're not hearing, you may be getting some knowledge, but are you really hearing what God would have you hear from the Scriptures? So we got to guard against that as well. In our time and the times that we have and our time frames and hurrying through things that a lot of times that we may do is to really take time to meditate and hear. There's so many things that you can benefit just from being quiet and being still. That's hard to do with six kids at home too. But being quiet and being still, it's of a great benefit for the Christian to hear His God. So exercise these things. Exercise the senses suggests real training. Reason of use suggests a habit. It's training in a habit. Now let me share again. Mr. Owen, real quickly. He says to quote to Owen, he says, to have our senses exercised in the way intended is to have our understandings and minds, though through constant study, meditation, prayer, hearing of the Word, and the like means of the increase of grace and knowledge, to become ready, fit, and able to receive spiritual truths and to turn them into nourishment for our souls. For so it follows, we are thus exercised to the discerning of good and evil. So he was transitioning into the next phrase there. But exercising our senses. So what is the standard for being a full age? You know, you look through here, so I don't want to be a baby. I want to be a full age. So what is that? What is it to be a full age? Well, the problem with that is we try to place standards on everything. And the reason we try to place standards on everything is because we want a means to be able to get there so we can be proud we're there. Well, that's not what we're doing here in the Scripture. That's not the intent of what being full age means. We can argue circles around critics. We can be the best apologists, the best theologians. We can be the best in the house at Bible trivia. But those that are full age are there because of the foundation of that milk that they drank, of knowing the first principles of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Every Christian's there because of that first. Then we're there and understand more of the principles and oracles of God because the full age, we know that age comes not by head knowledge alone, but by a changed heart that desires the will of the Father above our own. Full age, those of full age never feel of adequate age Because there's always, always the depths of Scripture to explore, to find more of what you need to do and understand about your God and what He would have you to do. The mark of being a full age is determined by our intimate relationship with our merciful Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God. A personal and loving relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. To know and desire of the heart to use the knowledge that He would give us for the benefit of all those around us and ourselves and our edification, that we may grow and also become a full age, that the others as well would become a full age in their personal walk in love for their Savior. So, full age, to be complete, to be perfect. You see those things in Scripture. It's referring typically to that we are to strive to do these things that God has called us to do, to be obedient to His Word, to study, to pray, to meditate, to become that perfect man, ready to do the God's will and His work. So the outcome of the Christian who leads a life of obedience to his Heavenly Father is one who can discern both good and evil. Because he listens to the desires of God's heart, he listens to His Word, he hears the oracles, the teachings of His Word. He knows how to apply the things of His Word so that he can discern good and evil. And he's given insight and help of the Holy Spirit within him that he is tender and open to be able to discern those things. Those are those of full age. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So our senses are exercised so that we can discern. We can discern these things for our benefit and the benefit of those around us. So let our spiritual senses be continually exercised through good habits of study. Always be ready to receive, embrace, change, put into use what we learn from the words of God. Preparing to be useful for His kingdom and whatever opportunities His providence would give us, so we're not found to be dull and slow in hearing. We don't want to be found dull and slow of hearing. We want to be sharp, ready, and willing to learn and to learn more and more for His glory and for His kingdom and for the good of those around us and those who need to hear the message of the gospel.